In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, that we might ponder these words and treasure them in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's the most wonderful time of the year. How many times have you heard that this season? Well, according to Andy Williams and scores of pop artists since that October 14th, 1963 debut, it is the most wonderful time of the year. And here are some reasons. The kids are jingle-belling. Everyone's telling you, be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings, when friends come to call, it's the happiest season of all, and on, you know the song. One thing I do love about this song, it is the quintessential sentimental Christmas song. All light, all joy, no troubles. I wonder if that kind of carefree song would have had its meteoric rise if it had come out 5 weeks later in that year. For you recall, that was the week that President Kennedy was assassinated. Nevertheless, we all know how the song goes, and rarely ever does a season go by that we don't hear it scores of times. But I think we would agree, all of us, it's a wonderful time of year, and it's also a very complicated time of the year. Each year our celebrations are a mix of joy and stress, warm memories of loved ones near and friends come to call, and cold realities of absent loved ones and friends. Just in our house this week, we have family in town, half of whom are sick with stomach flu. It is a complicated time of year. It seems to always come at Christmas. On a lighter note, though, we unapologetically indulge our desires in this time of year while at the same time committing extra effort and money to those who lack basic needs. So if I were to write a variation on the first stanza of this most cherished song, it might go something like this. It's the most complicated time of the year. With the kids' gift list growing and everyone moaning, Christmas is almost here. It's the most complicated time of the year. It's the most mixed up season of all, with those photo card greetings and awkward family meetings and friends who no longer call, but only text. It's the most mixed up season of all. And we laugh because we know it is true. On a more serious note, it is the season that we see most vividly the chasm that separates rich and poor, the overfed and the hungry. The big bow on top of the new luxury car and the driveway and a pair of new socks on a homeless shelter cot. And when we look beyond our shores, I think we see even a greater contrast. There's a promotional video out right now from Dubai airports depicting Santa Claus making his way through the airport, buying extravagant gifts, or maybe he's just getting a five-finger discount. It doesn't say. It doesn't actually show him transacting money anywhere, but I have high confidence that Santa's full of integrity. And here's how this article describes this promotional video. As part of their new campaign to welcome 7 million passengers during December, they created a video that could possibly melt your heart. The video shows Santa Claus walking around the airport, spreading happiness and, of course, gifts in a way that will give you the feels. Dubai airports are aiming to promote the exciting array of seasonal activities, promotions, prize giveaways, and entertainment for passengers that they're going to have for the entire month of December. 1,312 miles from there, in the same region of the world, the Middle East, the same amount of distance it takes for my mother and father-in-law to drive here from Houston, is Aleppo, Syria, where the images don't melt your heart, they break it. Doctors of the World UK just launched an alternative Christmas card collection. It's a creative collage. The cards show a traditional biblical figures with destroyed Aleppo as the background. The collection includes four designs. One of them features three wise men reacting to drones flying over their heads. Another one shows Joseph and Mary walking aimlessly surrounded by bombed out buildings. There's no room for them. There's no place safe. The purpose of the campaign, says Executive Director Lee Daines, is to, quote, shine a light on the realities of life in the Middle East at Christmas and provoke a broad public debate about the effect of the conflict on ordinary people at the time of year, many of us are thinking of loved ones, peace, and goodwill. We are a people who, by the fortune of living in this nation, have the benefit of being in touch with both extremes and, to a somewhat lesser extent, living in them. Some moments we experience pure good cheer. Other times we weep for ourselves or others who live in somewhat of a cheerless way. It may be in poverty, maybe fear, maybe illness. Being a Christian at Christmas requires us to struggle to hold both extremes in our hearts. And I would say to you that we are not to feel guilty for having it so good while others suffer, because that kind of feeling sorry for sentiment often leads to inaction. We don't do anything. We easily delude ourselves into thinking that we have done enough by just feeling bad for those poor, unfortunate souls. On the other hand, though, we're not to ignore the plight of people who suffer for the sake of filling ourselves until our houses are full and our checking accounts empty. And so, each year, we struggle to find out how to embody the message of the good news with this kind of tension. To do like Mary did when she sang later, when she would visit Elizabeth, about the mission of the baby who grew in her body, to bear out that mission in our living. And so I would have us again listen to what the angel's message to those shepherds was in a slightly different, more modern translation. They said, "I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you are to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." The extremes of seasonal tension are embodied in this God-child, the glorious one of heaven through whom all things in this world came into being, is born in a town of his ancestor, who is the great King David, but he is born as a peasant child, no earthly glory. Dubai meets Aleppo. Heavenly majesty meets earthly meekness. And so it is a child lying in the manger holds the key to the mystery of how we are to live lives in a relative peace and stability while being in solidarity with those who really suffer. To be like those shepherds, we don't just hear the good news and then go back to herding our sheep, whatever form that takes. We have to act. We have to move from one place to another, from being focused on what's familiar in front of us to the possibility of the strange that lies ahead of us. For it was in Jesus that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and that truth gives us endless possibilities to explore. As Jesus grew in the knowledge of his true identity, he showed us how to live abundantly while giving ourselves away extravagantly. He shows us how to be joyful and also full of compassion, to laugh with those who laugh, to weep with those who weep, to celebrate not in reckless indulgence, but in a holy exuberance where the joy of Christmas doesn't fade on December 26th, but continues all year. And so, yes, it is the most complicated time of the year, but it is also the most wonderful. Not for the reasons in that song. It's the most wonderful because here we are, still, 2,000 years later, full of wonder at what God did in Jesus Christ to bring salvation to humankind. To what degree did God suffer for us to come down, to be ridiculed, mocked, abused, crucified? Why did he live and die in relative obscurity to leave the best news in the world could have ever known in the hands of a ragtag bunch of nobodies? Could it be because, like Mary, we are to be the recipients of that news and have it grow in us? And as it does, it flows through us and out of us, and it punches holes in the darkness in the world. In a season that is so unabashedly jovial, what might we lose if our understanding of God's love, if we don't remember that he did not merely come to be born into our world as a bundle of joy, he also came to bundle up our sin and haul it to the cross. He came to comfort us and challenge us, to turn us from selfish living, and he invites us to join him in the abundant life while learning to give our lives away. He laid down his life first in that manger, finally on the cross, so he could break that complicated suffering in this world. He was raised again so that we can face the world with all the hope, peace, and joy, because the love of God would not leave this world to destroy itself. No violent explosions on earth or heaven will drown out that angel's chorus. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Jesus, God in flesh, is God with us now and forever. He wants us then never to forget. And so with his disciples, on the eve in which he would be taken and crucified, he had a meal to remember him by. Tonight he nourishes us around that table as he did those disciples long ago. Tonight when we share Holy Communion, we celebrate that his body was broken, so was broken that complicated power of sin and suffering. And when his blood was shed, so a life-giving essence of God washed over all people. So then, whether you're in Aleppo or Dubai, whether you spend Christmas surrounded by bright-colored packages or a pair of new socks, whether you're alone or with more family than you can stand, all of us have reason to rejoice. All of us are part of God's Christmas celebration. All of us are honored guests, invited to the table to celebrate our newborn King. And so, glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Hallelujah. Amen.